So I was asking you off mic, what other instruments do you play besides the drums?
Yeah, so I play a lot of hand percussion. I started off actually with hand percussion. Started off with a lot of Indian percussion, Latin percussion, and played violin for like 6 years in school. And then did like Indian vocals for 10 years and did some Western vocals for some years too. But I would say like drum kit is my first love.
Claim to fame.
Yeah.
I know we Tell just kind of started rugs. A little bit
you
off.
You said rugs, right?
Ragas.
Ragas.
But we haven't formally introduced you yet. And we're live, so
who
maybe,
are you? Well, before maybe, we do that, when I said goat earlier, getting over a fear of talking.
Okay, goat. I'll take it. I'll take it. We'll go with that. I'll take it. Okay.
Clear my name.
You are the goat.
Yeah.
Now do the intro, goat.
Still getting over it, but ladies and gentlemen, today we have with us, didn't I do this last time too, this weird voice?
You might have.
Let me just
But
rewind.
It's okay. It's your intro voice.
I'm just happy. I'm happy.
We're new at this, Sarah. We're sorry.
Sarah with
I
us.
Love it, okay? I'm digging it.
You all just one, two, three. Sarah. Sarah. Thayer. Yeah. Drummer extraordinaire.
We all did the hand gestures, but we didn't actually make it.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. No one can see us. I forgot.
This is so exciting. I almost want to say the end so we can listen to you play drums.
Let's just cut to the chase.
Great chat, guys. We'll fill it in with some ads.
But you are very, very well known.
Yeah.
It's
holy.
Crazy. Everyone I told about you, they were like, like their eyes
including
lit up.
This
and we've had 40
right
guests. Yeah, 40 guests. And they are like, oh, cool, cool. And
then all loved and adored, like, but Sarah has.
It's really popular.
Of fact. Matter of fact, I told, do you know Mike McNeil? I don't think you've met him yet.
No.
He's a keyboard player, great, super good keyboard player on the city.
Yeah.
And he's apparently a super fan. He wanted to come in and he asked me to get an autograph.
Oh, come on.
He's never
real.
Asked any.
I was asked
really?
To get,
and
he get was one like, too, but I said
he was like, I've met people like Ludacris because he's worked with a lot of artists and he's open for like bigger artists with these, you know, how it goes. And he's like, I've never asked, but if you could get me something. With your autograph, and I said you were going to give him a shout out. So, Mike McNeil, here it goes.
It's Michael O'Neill?
Mike McNeil, 88 Keys.
Oh, then I think that sounds too familiar. Okay.
And I think you should follow him on Instagram.
Okay, I'm going to follow you right now, 88 Keys, after this podcast. And it blows my mind that, like, when people tell me, like, you're well known, I'm like, really?
No, we
like,
can it's, say famous. Yeah.
I don't know, but
right
it's
there.
Fun.
Yeah. I mean, how did this happen? I guess that's a good place to start.
Yeah, so you know what? My whole journey started at about 2 years old. My dad's a musician, and we would have like drums and percussion laying around the house. Mm. And my dad was like a self-taught keyboard player.
Right.
Mm. Okay.
And so his whole approach was like, listen to it and just kind of feel it and play it.
Right.
So that was my growth. And then when I was 18 years old was when, okay, you know what? I'm going to take this seriously and go to university for music. But up until then, I was really heavily in the Bollywood Indian scene.
Okay.
Oh, getting like a lot of recognition in India and stuff like that. Yeah. And then when I turned 18, I felt like I was born again, because when I went to university, like heavy duty jazz was exposed to me. I mean, I was playing jazz in high school, but like not as intense, mm-hmm. like studying all those like fancy books and modes and scales and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, textbooks. Oh my God. So went to school for jazz and I felt like I was reborn. I saw a gospel choir for the first time. Karen Burke.
Karen York.
York.
It's going to be every time.
Big up yourself, Miss Karen.
So Karen Burke was like my first introduction to gospel music.
Wow.
And when I saw that, I was mind blown. And I remember I went to my dorm room and cried for like 2 hours because I'm like, what is the drummer doing with their kick pedal? Like I've never seen a kick pedal played so fast.
Right.
So I spent 4 years like just practicing by myself, doing like a lot of listening.
Yeah.
And then I felt like as soon as I finished university, I felt like that was my third life. Now I'm combining my roots and then my, you know, funk, R&B, the gospel, jazz, and like fusing it together. And so now I'm at a point where I'm just like, I love everything.
Mm.
You know? Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't know how well known you are. Like, remember I sent Ariki a video of you and I was like, look at this drummer.
Yeah.
And I started sending it to people. And then after that, I was like, she's from Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, this is like before.
And then I think we messaged you, but you're probably like, who's this?
Oh, really?
Like, you're from here? That's great. And you're like,
that's so funny.
We know where you live. But yeah, and then Anthony's like, have you ever heard of Sarah Thayer? And I'm like, what? Yes? Is she coming here?
No, psych.
How do you learn, like, from a technical perspective,
yeah,
it's hard to to rank musicians, and really it's not a sport.
Yeah.
But on a technical, from a technical standpoint, you're one of the higher ups that are out there right now. Like, where, what's, I'm sure Humber was part of the training.
York. Yeah.
York and Bjork, remember?
Mm-hmm. York and Bjork, okay. And then, like, how do you get to that level? What happened?
So, when I applied for school, I got rejected from Humber.
Wow.
Oh, I got rejected from U of T.
Wow. Oh.
I got rejected from Berkeley. I got rejected from every school that I applied for.
Do you know why?
So, because I didn't.
They all suck. That's why. How dare you?
That's pretty much why.
So, the reason why was because I didn't understand technical terms.
Right?
Okay. Like, I could play the paradiddles and I can do that. But when they said, play a 6/8 Colombian or rumba Colombia, I remember that, like, at Humber. And, like, I don't want to say anything, but, like, the prof stood behind me like this, like, just staring at me with a frown. And I'm like, I can play, but just, like, kind of help me out and be on my side.
Right, get into school here.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? York was the only school that saw my potential, because I walked into my audition. They're like, play. I had my tablas. I had drums. And I just, like, did my thing. And they gave me, like, a $40,000 scholarship, the Oscar Peterson scholarship.
Wow.
And then I'm like, give me 4 years, people. And I studied, like, every single drum book. And I'm like, then I came out and I'm like, come on, like, ask me any questions. So, like, that was my, like, let's go, you know?
Yeah. That's huge. Your work ethic. I was actually going to ask you about that. Yeah. Or mention it, at least, because we played together a couple times at the church.
Yeah.
And I remember you would always, I don't know if somebody would ask you what you're doing later, but it would always be, I'm going to practice.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you just played for hours. Are you going to practice?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just seems to be the theme of your life and your career. Talk to us about that, though.
Yeah. So for me, practicing is so important because, so first, I see music as a blessing.
Like, true.
First of all, like, to be in this country, Canada, is like a huge blessing.
Right. For
you
sure.
know, it's huge, yep. My parents are immigrants from Africa.
I think all of us.
But
are.
Yeah.
No, okay. Africa.
Yeah, but like, immigrants, like, we're like.
I mean.
Look at the map. So, like, we're all first generation Canadian, or that's a very common thing in Toronto. So it's so multicultural. And when I look at other people, like women in India, because I'm Indian, my heritage is Indian, and I see, like, maybe because of where they live, people are restricted.
Right.
Because they don't have the resources, they don't have food. And, like, their priority is, like, hey, how can I have my next meal? And that was my parents' situation growing up.
Yeah.
So, you know, my parents coming here, they're like, you can do what you want. Well, they're like, first get a degree, then you can do what you want.
Right, right.
So now they're like, do what you want. So I found that, like, I'm so lucky to just play drums, and I just want to take that and work hard and run with it.
Right.
So that's kind of my, like, just from, like, a point of gratitude.
For sure.
Like, you found your
And
purpose.
I'm sure other women are definitely encouraged and inspired by you playing the drums, especially women in India that might not have those opportunities to even play instruments.
Imagine. Yeah.
So that's incredible, for sure.
Thank you.
You have incredible online presence, too.
Yeah.
How did that come to be? Was this intentional, or is it something that just started to happen?
Yeah. So I'll tell you a story.
Yeah, we love stories around here.
Oh, man, I love talking. So you'll be fed up really soon.
No,
so
I totally doubt that.
So, okay, so when I was growing up, my dad was like, don't play drums.
And I'm really?
Like, what? Oh, God.
It's
like,
too loud?
It's too loud, yeah. But also, they were like, my dad used to be a music director for, like, when artists would come from India, and he was, like, the band leader, and he would hire the drummers, and he was like, drummers are at the back of the stage. Nobody cares about drummers. Oh. What do you want to do to yourself? He's like, you're going to be carrying all this gear, and you're a girl, and you're going to be, like, walking around late at night and things like that.
Sure, yeah.
So he said, don't ruin your life and, like, become a singer and a piano player.
Oh, wow.
And so that's the reason my parents put me in singing classes and piano classes for like 10 to 15 years, because they were trying to push me away from the drums.
Right.
But we had like 3 drum sets around the house, and we had like a lot of percussion around the house. So anyway, I told my dad, like, stop bugging me, because I'm going to keep doing it anyway. So I started playing in his band from like whatever, 5, and then started playing kid in his band at like 12. Oh, and then he's like,
playing in a band at 5?
But it was like percussion. It was not like hard stuff. Okay. It was like 3 drums.
Oh yeah, you have videos online of that.
Yeah, you saw the videos, yeah.
Super fan.
Too sweet.
I'm swooning a bit.
Oh my God. So then after I turned 16, and my dad's like, okay, so you're not going to give up the drums. I'm like, no, I'm not going to give up the drums. So he's like, okay, make me a promise. I'm like, all right, cool. And he's like, make a name for yourself as a drummer.
Right.
Because like, he's like, I care for you so much. I don't want you to suffer. And I don't want you to rely on an artist to make money. And he's like, so make an online presence for yourself so you will never have to rely on anybody. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I started posting videos in 2009 on YouTube. Yeah, that's right. When like YouTube started popping,
that's like
I think.
Yeah.
Seems to be 2008, 2009 seems to be the golden age of when people that blew up, they started a while ago.
That's when I started like on YouTube. And that was like what, grade 10 or grade 9? Grade 10 was 2009?
Good move.
Yeah, a long time ago. And then after, started getting recognition in the Bollywood industry and stuff. And then after when I went...
First, I guess?
First, yeah. Okay. That was like my first entry point. And then after, I'm like, I want to go to New York and I want to go to LA. I don't want to like go to music school. And my parents are like, you're crazy. Absolutely not. So like, they're like, finish your program. So I said, fine, I'm going to be in my dorm room, but I'm going to make videos so people in the States know who Sarah is.
Right.
So when I walk in the room, no one's like, ugh, who is this?
Right, and she can't play.
Yeah, and like, I remember when I was like 23, I went to NAMM for the first time. And when I walked into NAMM, nobody like paid any attention to me. They're like, who is she?
When
I said I play drums, they're like, okay, sure.
Cute.
Like, you know, cute. Yeah. So then I'm like, okay, I'll be back.
Right.
So every time, my plan was every time I go to the NAMM show, I want at least like a couple of more people to know who I am. And not from a point of like, oh, I just want to be on a pedestal. No. It was at a point of so I can play with my heroes.
Right.
So I can be appreciated for the love of music and drums and my work ethic. And I just want to make music a living. So like recognize who I am and what I can do.
Right.
Yeah. So it was just for me, like social media has been a walking, talking portfolio for me and a discography.
Yeah.
So when anybody sees me, they want to know what I'm like. Just open up my Instagram, just open up my Facebook, and I don't have to be where you are to get hired by you.
Right.
You know, so that's been my approach to social media.
I think more artists should use that as their, like you said, discography or even their like reel. You know
I
what I mean?
Tell everybody. I tell everybody, you got to get on social media. Like there's nothing to lose and there's everything to gain.
True.
A lot of you are familiar with the DNA Project and have been rocking with us for a while, but some of you aren't. A lot of you are faithful listeners of the podcast, but aren't familiar with some of the other work that we do. So I just want to take a quick moment to explain to you a little bit more of what we do. So you're getting married, or you have a friend, a cousin, a sister, somebody you know is getting married. Okay. You've booked your venue, caterers, photographer, all that good stuff. When it comes to live music, most people have no idea where to look. We have you covered. Picture this. During the ceremony, while guests are being seated, or while the bride's walking down the aisle. During the cocktail hour, while guests are just mingling and having a good time. Don't forget about dinner music. That's very important to set the mood while guests eat. And we definitely can't forget the party. Let's get the party started right now with the DNA Project. www.thednaproject.ca for more information.